Well, good morning, and I want to extend another invitation and welcome to you here this morning. It's good to be here. This morning, we are going to continue on in our series on the Holy Spirit, and this is something I've been excited as I've been preparing, and last Sunday I heard some good feedback, and so I'm excited to continue in this. And before we get started here, we're just going to do a short review of last Sunday. Actually, before I forget, I always forget this. At the end of each of your benches, there are little half sheets. If those aid you in taking notes, feel free to use those. If there are more than enough at your bench, maybe just hold them up. And if another bench needs some more, they can grab some from you. Through what Dave read this morning, you know, I had not thought about Genesis 1 in relation to what the Lord has been laying on my heart for this morning. But as Dave read it, I said, "Man, Dave's stealing all my points here." And then, you know, what he said about Genesis 1 as he read it, and then he got to Romans 8, and the way he just highlighted things, he said, "Dave might as well just preach my sermon." But it's cool to see the way that the Holy Spirit is working, even in the way that those, you know, the whole worship service just flows together. Even just thinking about that song that we sang, inviting the Holy Spirit wind to move in our hearts and in our homes and in our church. And the Holy Spirit is so often referred to as a wind, but also as a fire. And inviting God to build this fire in our hearts, to build this fire in our church. Just amazing. So I know we've had prayer at multiple points this morning, but again, I just want to open up a prayer. So Lord, we ask, as we sang, that your Holy Spirit wind would blow in this place. God, that your Holy Spirit fire would fall upon us. God, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us, Lord. For your glory, we want to see you lifted up. God, we thank you for what you're going to say to us today. God, we pray that our hearts would be open. Amen. So last week, we looked at some kind of basics, fundamentals, foundations, of who the Holy Spirit is. And just as a review, by means of review, we talked about two things the Holy Spirit is. We said the Holy Spirit is God, that the Holy Spirit is not a lesser part of the Trinity, but it's three in one, and that when we neglect or ignore the Holy Spirit in our life, we are neglecting and ignoring the presence of God in our life. We also talked about how the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a force, not a power that can be harnessed, but a person to get to know, that we can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We talked about some fears, some misconceptions that sit at the root of our fears, one of them being what I call the too much of a good thing idea, that we can have too much of the Holy Spirit and where it becomes a negative influence. So we talked about that. We also talked about the misconception that there is a broad and distinct separation between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit and Jesus are in line with one another. They are alike to one another. They're not, you know, separate and way different, but they both serve a similar purpose, and that we don't need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We talked about having an accurate biblical understanding of the Holy Spirit. We said the three things that does is it calms our fears, clears our confusion, and curbs extremism. That when we come to our understanding of the Holy Spirit, that needs to be based on this book. That the foundation of our understanding of the Holy Spirit needs to have its ground, its footing on this book. That needs to be grounded in Scripture. And in doing that, we'll have a proper and correct understanding of the Holy Spirit. And we ended with this prayer, asking God to increase our understanding of the Holy Spirit. And that's the prayer I left you with, and I challenge you to pray over this past week, asking God to show you more of His Holy Spirit, asking God to grow your understanding of His Holy Spirit. And I trust that God was faithful to answer that prayer throughout the week. And I would love to hear from you guys about how God increased your understanding, your awareness of the Holy Spirit this past week. So feel free to chat with me afterwards and share those stories. So last week, we laid this foundation of who the Holy Spirit is. And this week, we're going to take it maybe a step farther and look at how the Holy Spirit moves, or what the Holy Spirit does. And as we, you know, as we read the scriptures, how do we see the Holy Spirit moving? What do we see the Holy Spirit doing? And we're going to start with John 6. In John 6, Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. And some people don't understand his teaching, and so they end up leaving and not following him anymore. But as he's talking about himself as the source of life, the bread of life, in verse 63 of John 6, he says, "The Spirit gives life." He says the Holy Spirit gives life. This is what Jesus says that the Holy Spirit does. Later in 2 Corinthians, it also talks about the Holy Spirit giving life. And we'll look at that a little bit later as well. But this idea that the Holy Spirit is the giver of life, and this is why I thought Dave reading Genesis 1 connected so well, this idea that the Holy Spirit was giving life, was breathing life, was creating and forming life. That this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He gives us life, and we need life because we're dead. I don't know if you take your pulse this morning, and you may argue with me on that, but Ephesians 2, verse 1-2 says that we were dead in our transgressions, in our sins. We used to live following the ways of this world, and that brought on death. It's because of our sinful choices. It's because of saying, you know, we're going to reject God, we're going to live our own way. Or we're going to live with part of God, but then part of our own way. Or we're going to seek to satisfy ourselves. And ultimately, in that, turning away from God, we have condemned ourselves to death, and so we are in great need of a life giver. And in the midst of this brokenness and this death that we experience, the Holy Spirit gives us life. He offers life. If you are still in Romans 8, you can stay there. If you're not in Romans 8, you can jump back to Romans 8 where Dave just read. And we're going to look at the hope of life that we can be filled with as we receive from the Holy Spirit, that we are in this place of death, but that we can grow in life. And starting in verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You know, that we were in sin and we are in death, but the Holy Spirit gives us life. And as we continue to read through Romans 8, it says, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. It says, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will give you life. This is amazing that we were dead in our sins and that the Holy Spirit gives us life, and that Christ gives us this life. And the spiritual life that we have has its beginning because of the work of the Holy Spirit. That the initial step into this spiritual life, the initial process of being reborn, is because of the Holy Spirit. Let's jump to John chapter 3. And we see that, again, this initial step into spiritual life is brought about by the Holy Spirit. In John 3, Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus. And Jesus says, in order to enter into this spiritual life, you have to be reborn. Now, Nick doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. He's like, what, you know, how can I be reborn a second time? That doesn't make sense. And Jesus says, it's not a natural birth, but it's being born of the Spirit. But again, this very first step into spiritual life, this birth process, is brought about by God's Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is working in our salvation and giving us life, that we are being born of the Spirit. The Spirit plays such a vital role in the beginning of our spiritual life. And when we think about the Holy Spirit, we can get so distracted by what happens way down the road that we forget about the work of giving life that happens at the very beginning of the journey. That we get distracted by the other things that the Holy Spirit does and wants to do in our life, that we forget that the Holy Spirit is the one who gave us life to start with. He is the one that has worked in our spiritual birth, and we can't ignore this. But spiritual life doesn't stop at the birth. You know, we aren't born for the sake of birth. You know, birth is not the end goal. You know, birth continues to life and growth and transformation, development. Spiritual birth is only the beginning. And there is this, I think, incorrect view of the Christian life that says that the fullness of the Christian life is in that moment of birth. You say, you'll ask someone, you say, are you a Christian? And they say, yes, I'm a Christian because I've been saved. Because I was born. Because I had that one moment, and the fullness of me being a Christian is because I had that one moment. That the Spirit gave me life at the beginning, that I have this birth, and therefore that is the fullness. But our initial salvation experience is not the end goal. Birth is not the end goal. This death to life is not the end goal, but it is the beginning, it is the first step. And to assume that the entirety and the fullness of the Christian life is satisfied in the fact that we had a salvation experience completely misses the point. It's like this. If I were given a free ticket to Hershey Park, that would be awesome. I'd be really excited. And if I would use that free ticket, and I would use that ticket, and I get in the gate, and I stand inside the gate and say, wow, this ticket is awesome. I'm in the park. And I stop there. I say, this ticket, the purpose of the ticket was to get me in the gate, and I'm in the gate, and so this is great. I love this. I'm in. And somebody would come along and say, but don't you know there's more than that? I'm not denying that the purpose of the ticket is to get you in the park, but the point of being in the park is to ride the rides and eat the food and, you know, have a good time. You're missing the fullness of the experience of Hershey Park if you think that the ticket just gets you in the door. And this is how we sometimes live the Christian life. It's like, you know, if I would walk in the park and think that the rides are an optional extra, I say, yeah, well, everybody who has a ticket, they get in the park, but then there are people who go above and beyond and they ride all the rides. Or they eat the food. You know, that's not for everyone. It's just kind of the extra super dedicated, super motivated people. And particularly American Christianity is this has this nominal Christianity where you say, I'm a Christian because I had that moment of salvation. I got my ticket. I got in the park. And that's the fullness of it. But the truth is that there's so much more. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if I was that person standing inside the gate with my ticket, excited about being in the amusement park, the encouragement to me, I mean, you wouldn't come up to me and be, wow, you're so stupid and you're completely missing the point and you're just a terrible Hershey Park goer because you haven't ridden any of the rides. No, the encouragement is there's so much more. It's an invitation. It's not a shaming the person who stands there at the gate with their ticket, but it's an invitation, inviting to experience the fullness of what the ticket truly offers. In the verse, it talks about the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings. Talks about this transformation from death to life, this freedom from sin, but then it continues by talking about the transformation that occurs. That's not just this freedom from sin, but it's this process of transformation, being transformed into the image of Christ. Now, I know my next reference is right. Let's go to Galatians 5. And again, it talks about the work here of the Holy Spirit in Galatians. It talks about being led by the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, it says, walk by the Holy Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And it goes on to talk about this freedom that the Spirit brings from death to life, from sinfulness to righteousness. But it doesn't stop there. So that, yes, there is this freedom, this initial kind of salvation that the Holy Spirit brings, but it continues on to talk about the character transformation, lives transformed from sinful lives to lives that are characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That the work of the Holy Spirit is a transforming work in the life of the Christian. That this is the primary work of the Holy Spirit, that He transforms our lives. We get so distracted by the miraculous works of the Holy Spirit that we forget that the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to bring transformation in our lives. That we are to be transformed into the image of Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings life, but also brings transformation. Jesus, I just recognize that I can't find my verses and the clicker ain't working. And God, we just give this time to You. We just recommit it to You. God, in spite of things seemingly going wrong, we just recognize that You are here, that You desire to work, You desire to speak to us. And God, we don't want the distractions to pull away from that. So we just recommit our hearts and our minds to You this morning. God, we pray that You'd be working. Amen. So the Holy Spirit brings transformation. And so last week we kind of set this foundation of who the Holy Spirit is. And this week the emphasis is that the Holy Spirit brings this transformation in our life. That the life of the Christian is more than just the salvation experience, but is this journey of transformation. And to ignore that, or to miss out on that, is to miss out on so much that the Christian life is about. And that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. That we don't get distracted by the other things that the Holy Spirit does or may do, but we focus on the fact that the Holy Spirit works in our lives as Christians, transforming us from death to life. Transforming us from people who live following our own selfish desires, seeking to satisfy ourselves, seeking to make ourselves somebody. And it transforms us from that to somebody who is following after Christ, who lays down their own desires, follows after Christ, lives in humility and love and patience, lives in kindness. And this is the transformation of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. These are not optional extra levels of Christianity. This is the core. The work of the Holy Spirit is bringing about this transformation in our life. And just like the Hershey Park analogy, the person who just got in the gate and they think that's the entirety of it, there's an invitation to experience the fullness of what salvation and transformation and being in Christ means. Amen. One last passage here in Acts 8. I want to You'd turn there with me. Here we see a picture of people who maybe just got their ticket and think they are experiencing the fullness of it and they're inside the gate, but they're missing the transformation. They're missing the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. In Acts 8, we're going to start reading in verse 4. It says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went to a city in Samaria where he proclaimed the Messiah there." So he's talking about Jesus. He's proclaiming Jesus. "When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city." Verse 9 of Acts 8. "Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was somebody great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is rightly called the great power of God.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery." So this is the setting. The believers are scattered. Philip goes to Samaria. He's preaching. People are following him. But there's also this other guy who they're following, this sorcerer who's amazing them with these magic tricks. And it comes to a point in verse 12. Where it says, but, not following this guy, but they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. So they turn from following the sorcerer. They're following Philip. They hear his message about the kingdom of God and about Jesus. They believe in the message of Jesus, and they're baptized. They have experienced salvation. Verse 13, picking up with the story, "Simon himself believed and was baptized, And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they may receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you have this group of believers. They hear the message of Jesus. They believe in the message of Jesus. They've been baptized in the name of Jesus. And the apostles show up. They say, this is great, but there's more. There's the Holy Spirit working in your life. And they pray that the Holy Spirit will come into the lives of those believers. And I think this morning, each of us is at one of three places. The first is having no experience of salvation. So there's no salvation experience. And because there's no salvation experience, there's not the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of that person. So they don't even have the ticket. They're not even in the park. The second place is having salvation. You got the ticket. You're in the park. But like these believers here in Acts, whether out of ignorance or out of fear, the next step hasn't come. It's kind of like, well, I'm a Christian because I've been saved, but I haven't experienced the fullness of the work of the Holy Spirit transforming me and making me into the image of Jesus. And the third place is experiencing the salvation and experiencing the transformation of Jesus in our lives. And here's the thing, at any of these three places, wherever you find yourself, the question is the same. The question is, do you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life? That's the question. That's the question for all of us, wherever you find yourself in those three places. And so I want you to take some time to evaluate where you're at. And to think about this question, do you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life? And as we pray, if the answer is yes to this question of do you want more to the Holy Spirit in your life, I invite you to respond by raising your hand. So God, we come to you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for your presence here among us this morning. God, we thank you for each person here today. God, we thank you that your desire is to give each one of us the Holy Spirit. And God, I just raised both my hands saying, I want more. God, I want more of your Holy Spirit in my life. God, I want, you know, I feel like I've experienced some of the rides. I've seen some of the park, but there's always more of you, God. There's always more to be experienced. So God, I just invite more of you in our lives this morning. God, we thank you for the salvation that we experienced through Jesus. And we thank you that it doesn't stop there, but it continues in the transformation of our lives. It continues by changing our character, making us more like you, making us ambassadors for you, God. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our lives, transforming us, Lord. God, we pray that for each person who has responded by raising their hand this morning, God, that you would increase their knowledge of the Holy Spirit. God, that as they study the Scriptures, you would open their eyes to see the way that your Holy Spirit moves and works and who your Holy Spirit is. God, I pray that you would speak to us through your Word. God, I thank you that you want our knowledge of the Holy Spirit not to just be book knowledge, but you want experiential knowledge as well. So God, I pray that there'd be an experience of the Holy Spirit. God, an experience that goes aligned with Scripture. God, I pray that you would fill us. God, for each person here this morning, God, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit. God, that the Holy Spirit would permeate each and every part of their lives, that it would overflow. God, I pray in any way that we have hardness of heart, or we have fear, or we have a misunderstanding, or we have sin in our lives, or anything that would be holding us back from experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would highlight those areas. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and convict us. God, that conviction would lead to repentance, would lead to an openness to experience more of your Holy Spirit. God, we invite your presence, your spirit here this morning. God, we pray for Holy Spirit transformation. God, that as we go throughout our week, as we go to work, as we interact with family members, God, that there would be a characteristic of our life that would be different because of the Holy Spirit working in us and transforming us. God, I thank you that you have so much more to offer than just getting in the gate. God, more than salvation, God, you offer us transformation as well, the journey, the process of becoming like you. God, we thank you that you give good gifts. God, you are so good. We thank you, Lord. And this morning, as we ask for more of the Holy Spirit, we can trust that God is a good Father, that when we ask, he gives us good gifts. And one of the good gifts that he gives is the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to comfort us, to transform us. It's so great that God is not content with just having us get in the gate, get in the door. But he wants to see us changed and transformed as well. And I know that we just had a response to this and a time of prayer, but I want to invite a little farther. That particularly if you find yourself in this first place of not having experienced the salvation of Jesus, the salvation that Jesus has to offer, this transformation from death to life, this birth process into spiritual life, and you want to enter into that this morning and experience the transformation that the Holy Spirit brings, I invite you to come to the front, and I'd love to pray with you. And extending this invitation either farther, if you have a desire for more of the Holy Spirit in your life, or you feel like maybe you're like those Acts 8 believers where they believed in Jesus, they had salvation, they were baptized, but they haven't experienced that transformation in their life, they haven't experienced the work of the Holy Spirit, I would love to pray with you. Or if you simply just want more, in a very real desire for more of the Holy Spirit in your life, God, again, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that gift. God, we thank you that you bring transformation in our life. God, we just declare this morning that we want more of your Holy Spirit. And last week, our prayer was that God would increase our knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And the prayer that I want to leave you guys with this morning is this request. God, give me more of this good gift that you have for me. Give me more of your Holy Spirit in my life. God, that's our prayer this morning. God, we thank you that you give good gifts. I invite you to stand for a benediction. God, we commit our lives to you. We thank you for our salvation, our transformation. And God, as we go off from here, we pray that we would experience more of your Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit that can do more than we can even imagine or think or desire. God, you exceed our expectations. In the name of Jesus, go in peace. Amen.